Well, let's go ahead and get back where we were here. And we're in Psalm 32, looking at David's process he went through to get through confession and get through to a better place where he needed to be in God's plan for his life. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the word. Thank you for the second session here. We know that each moment is critical in your plan. And I just pray that we can pick these things up in a way that is meaningful in our lives. We thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So here we are to Psalm 32. And I backed up because I wanted to show you that David actually spent a little time, you could say, out of fellowship before he got to the point of confessing his sin before God or acknowledging it, and which we saw was basically admitting that you are guilty of that sin. And so here we are, and it's funny how he starts this off, because he's stating the obvious thing that he knows now after going through what he went through, which is, blessed is he who is forgiven. That's how he starts this out. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So you can see what he's talking about. And let's look at this other phrase here, the second one. It says, whose sin is covered. Now, when you think about sin being covered, you have to remember that God is the only one that can cover sin. Is the only one that can cover a sin. And the word cover here I like, because it means put it out of sight. It means forget about it. You know, God, in order for us to forget about a sin, we have to have God forget and remove and cover the sin that we've committed first. Because otherwise, you can't forget. You have a hard time forgetting if you're not applying that truth in itself. If you don't realize that God has completely forgiven and covered that sin, in other words, the forgiveness includes the forgetting and throwing out, taking it off of your record, we could say that, then we have a tendency to put it back on our record. We have a tendency to bring that guilt up, back up with us that I was talking about, which is that feeling bad, that, you know, doing something to offset the sin. The covering is, I think, a truth that needs to be applied with confession. Because you can always, you know, drag that sin back as if, you know, you need to be re-forgiven. But that's not the truth, right? That's the what your conscience or your flesh may tell you. But, and this is a powerful concept, because we have this ability to do to other people. It's a powerful thing when you can forgive somebody for something that they did in a true way, at least according to the scripture. And that means to remove it, forget about it, take it out as if it didn't happen, to cover over it. And when I relate that to what we're talking about here, we're talking about a forgiveness that wasn't deserved, that wasn't something that we did something for. It was actually just the opposite. And that's the forgiveness that we are to have to other people. They don't have to deserve it. They're not usually going to deserve it. There may not be anything that they do to deserve it, right? And it's usually just the opposite, just like it is with us and Jesus Christ. Usually, no one deserves forgiveness. Sometimes they do, but many times they don't. But that's not the point when it comes to forgiveness, because you have to include the component of grace. Where's grace in your forgiveness? If you're forgiving based on what somebody else does or doesn't do, you're not operating on the forgiveness that was given to you. Because if God was waiting on you to do something, he'd still be tapping his foot. Because we're sinners. We're lost. We're going to sin tomorrow, you know, the next day. So he'd constantly be just waiting. That's why he just did it. He took the initiative. He's the one who gave us the grace, the love, the appreciation, and he forgave us of our sins. So Ephesians 4:32 was brought up to me when I was looking at this. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And there's that forgiveness that I'm talking about. It's not based on the other person. You know, you can spend a lot of time not forgiving somebody because they don't deserve it in your mind. And you know what? Humanly speaking, they may not deserve it. But guess what? That's not the issue, because none of us deserve this forgiveness that we've been given. But we're required, at least mandated by God, to reciprocate, to give back the forgiveness that He gave us. And that's where the grace factor comes in. Because if you can forgive somebody for something that they don't even deserve, that's what it's all about. This is what it's all about. That's what a true Christian service looks like, at least on the outside. Because guess what everybody's waiting on to forgive somebody? They're waiting on a justification to give their forgiveness to that person. And all of a sudden, now you've got years gone by, a broken relationship, because somebody's waiting on somebody to do something or say something, say I'm sorry, say I never should have done that, crawl to their door on their hands and knees. I mean, really? I mean, if we're constantly waiting to forgive people, we're not actually living the way God wants us to live and think when it comes to forgiveness. Because this is what we've been given. And that's how powerful forgiveness is. Is it doesn't take into account whether we deserve the forgiveness or not. It forgives based on who and what Jesus Christ is. And that's where our relationship is. That's where our love is coming to us. Therefore, we can love in the same way. So right here, there's our example that we see right here. God's forgiveness of us. Look, it says God in Christ right there. And so many times you see this forgiveness nowadays is so far removed from any scripture. It's so far removed from any Christian thinking, so far removed from Christ. You know, and when people actually say, well, I forgave them, they're saying it like it was just so hard to do. You know, I finally got to the point of forgiveness. Well, if we finally get to the point of forgiveness, maybe we can understand actually what the truth is saying. You know, if it becomes real to us, I can understand that. That's legit, right? You came to the understanding about you having forgiveness. Therefore, you were able to give it back to other people. Not based on them. It's not based on them. It's based on grace. It's always based on grace. And what is grace? It's something that we have. Somebody trying to get in the front door. It's something that we have, but we don't deserve it. We have it. It was given to us by God, but we don't deserve it. And every one of us have it. Every one of us have it. We received it, right? So we need to remember that, because forgiveness, I think, works both ways. You know, you go throughout the day and you're constantly cleansed from all these things that you don't deserve to be forgiven for. But it's a constant thing. God's constantly forgiving you. But see, it's rooted in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. That's how we're able to be forgiven. So we need to make these links in our own mind. But I get it. You know, sometimes that sin nature, that self-righteousness gets in the way. And you can't see the truth through that many times. What you see is the deception. So nature's very good at deceiving you into thinking, you know what? They need to tell you they're sorry. That's what our self-righteousness tells us. And like I said, you may not get that. Remove that. Who are you serving? The flesh or the spirit? God or yourself? That's what it boils down to. Because many times we say, I'm serving self because I'm not forgiving them. They did something that is beyond crossing the line, and I will never forgive them. Well, that is not the Christian example that we should be setting at all. It's far from removed. And I understand if you're not there, we need more growth. You know, this is an area that doesn't come overnight. I can assure you that. So don't feel bad if you say, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not able to forgive. That's fine. But I'm just showing you that there is a forgiveness here that you are capable of forgiving that person. I don't care what they did. You might have killed your mom and dad. I don't care what they did. The worst thing you can think of. you know, sexually abused you. You know what? There's a lot of people that are very sick because of sin eating away on their life. And you know what? Many times when we blame someone for something, it can be cured. It can be solved. It can be fixed. But it takes Jesus Christ, or it takes a divine intervention to come in their life. And it's not our part to judge. Let God do the judging. Let Him do the judging. All we have to do is look at our example in the forgiveness and give it back to them. Because really, that's what they need. They need grace. And you know, when you forgive and it's not expected by someone else, people notice those things. They say, wow, he didn't even, you know, I didn't even expect that forgiveness. He shouldn't even be forgiving me, but he or she did forgive me. That is an example that you are setting of Christ on this earth. And you know what? That draws people, I believe, closer to Christ by seeing the example that you're bringing to into the sinful world of showing what true forgiveness looks like. It's not about the person. It's about what's inside your soul. That's where forgiveness lies, and that's tied directly to your relationship with Christ. So it's about, you know, obedience. About obedience. And in this verse right here, Ephesians 4:32, there is actually a command right here at the beginning. Be kind to one another. Be kind. That's how it starts out. Be kind. And that kindness naturally here includes forgiveness. Forgiveness. That kindness includes forgiveness. You ever know someone that can't forgive anything? That's not the example that we're to set. Christ forgives everyone. Every single person has the offer available of positional forgiveness in Jesus Christ and to have eternal life. Every single person. The worst person on the earth that you can think of had the handout to be saved and eternally justified. Whether they accept it or not is a different story. But I'm telling you, it's offered. It's offered. The forgiveness is there. Right? So the kindness includes that for sure. Because many times what you see is people are going to react negatively. They're going to react to something you do, to something you say. I mean, we're talking about people here. You know, we're so finicky if you think about it. We're not consistent. We do one thing one week, we're good one week, and we're in a bad mood next week. Say something wrong, you know, somebody gets offended, boom. It's so quick. You know, it's like, whoa, what happened? Right? And it's probably our fault. Maybe it is our fault. Maybe it's not. They may not have a spiritual life. They don't know how to handle what you said to them. See, but it's not the issue. If you want to keep fellowship with people, you have to be the one that forgets, forgives, and covers and moves on. Because that relationship can either grow farther apart, stay in a standstill, or can be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. Right? And that's what we're in the business of, is serving the Lord. We're not here to serve people. We're not here to serve self. We're serving the Lord. And as a result of that, we may serve people. Right? But look who came first. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came first. So in order to be able to truly carry out this command that we're given right here and forgiveness, you have to see God's grace towards you, which then motivates you to extend that grace to other people. That's what the motivation is all about. In other words, the bucket of grace is endless. You're not going to be less of a person to forgive someone that doesn't deserve to be forgiven. You're going to be actually gaining more blessings, more rewards, more joy, more happiness in the plan of God by doing the truth of His Word. You're applying the Word, actually, and making it happen, right? Look at this. Galatians 2:20. You've seen this verse before. This is the mindset we need. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. That's applied to every single one of us. You know, if we could actually live this completely, that's the Christian life. Live, Christ lives in me. If we can say that, do that, think that. I know there's a lot that goes to that as well. But at the same time, you know, this is an attitude. This is a way of life. This is a way of thinking. This is a dedicated Christian in service to God who wants to make a difference. I mean, you know, we can be here for a while and not make much of a difference at all. And I wish more people were aware of the fact that they're not making any impact in this life. Or maybe they're making some, but as far as God is concerned, what He wants for them in their life, they're not concerned about that. That is on the shelf in their room and collecting dust. Some of, we know people all the time like that, right? The importance of what they're here for on this earth, their purpose in life, they're not concerned about that. They're searching. They're just searching. What can they find to make them happy? We've got to get closer and closer to realizing that you have a true purpose in life and true meaning and true effectiveness, but it comes from this type of attitude right here. It does. And it's real. We know that for a fact. See it work every day. So God's forgiveness towards us means that nothing else is required of you because confession is found in the sufficiency of Christ. Right? That's to you every day of your life. And that's the reason we're able to forgive both, be forgiven both positionally and daily when we sin. Right there, because of what Jesus Christ did. So anyways, I think this is a reflection of Christ in you. And if we're able to actually live this way, how satisfying that is to be able to not only do what God has desired us to do, but the benefits of, you know, following the command and being obedient in the plan of God is what brings us joy, is what brings us the contentment. It's not a person. It's not a place. It's being obedient, because why is obedience leading us to happiness? Because you're actually taking the word of God and you're carrying it out. You're taking it as truth and you're making it meaningful. In other words, your thought process is changing. You know, you ever hear you can't change anybody? The Word of God can change people. The Word of God can change people. Seen it happen all the time. See it happen to you. Seen it happen to me. If you're saved as a believer and you're growing spiritually, you will change. Your mindset will change. No doubt about that. So, and you know, what are you doing when Christ is being reflecting out of your life? You're witnessing. There's multiple ways to witness, and one of those is by the way you live. You know, and when you forgive someone that doesn't deserve forgiveness, that's a witness. Not only to the person you forgave, but it's a witness in a fallen world, in Satan's world. It's a witness to all the angels that are not only on your side, but also on the opposing side. Right? Remember, we're here to prove the will of God. Prove it. That means test it. Show that it's pure. Show that it's true. And that's part of that, that witness. When you're making decisions that Satan doesn't want you to make and you're seeing that they actually work, that's proof right there. So God covered sin no matter where it's found. But He does expect us to go to Him for that forgiveness. So and then it says, blessed. Remember, we're talking about blessings in our verse. And then verse 2 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. And this translation is kind of threw me off, but the word impute here actually means to reckon or place it to your account. Isn't that interesting? Blessed is the man who the Lord does not just count that sin to your account and not do anything with it. It's yours. There's no forgiveness available, right? But He's saying we make that decision to hold on. We make that decision to reckon our sins to us. Guess what? They're not meant to be yours. Jesus Christ paid for the sins, and He wants you to acknowledge. He wants you to admit. He wants you to wipe them off. That's why He says blessings to the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. who does not leave that iniquity and assign it to you. You are the responsible party in releasing or cleansing from all unrighteousness. Not imputing your sin and holding on to it. That's not the purpose. That's why blessings come from constantly getting that dirt out. Cleansing. Getting the dirt out. That's a blessing. To be clean is a blessing. You know, you ever been around someone who hasn't cleaned in a while? It's not too much of a blessing. They probably stink. Same thing, spiritually, right? You want to be around someone who is spiritually unclean. I mean, we are all the time, but you get the point. It's a blessing to be around someone that's always cleansed and like-minded. They're on the same page as you. They got your same values and motivations. They're in the Word. They love the Lord. And they want to see people advance, not because of personal desires, but because of God's desires. So the reality here, you know, when you think about this verse, is that all of our sins should be basically counted to us. Think about it. They should be ours and we should have them and nothing should happen with them. But see, that's where God came in and he filled that gap. Because sins, I mean, you know, as a Christian, we just say, well, that's just, God's just supposed to take care of that. No, he's not. He didn't have to do that. He does that because of his grace. But he didn't have to do anything. You know, I always say, technically, we should all be going to hell right now. And that's exactly where we are going if we reject the solution found in Jesus Christ. But see, there's an offer. There is another option that we could take. He's more than willing. He doesn't like to see you not choose that direction, right? The better option. But some people do. And that's where the double-edged sword comes in of volition. We all have a decision to make, right? So we do have that option, not only in salvation, but also in day-to-day life of what to do with sin. Got the option. Look at Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Look at all these things that God is to you. Even when you were dead in your transgressions. That's what I'm talking about. You should have that. That's a sign to you. We choose to sin. But what did God have? Mercy, love, grace, salvation, another option, and kindness. All these things are the attitude that we all need to have in a world that is just the opposite of these things. How often do you see mercy? Not very often. How often do you see love? Not very often. Grace, hardly ever. Salvation, God's the only one that can provide that, right? And kindness. You see it sometimes, but is it genuine? I don't know. That's up to each person to decide on themselves. So back to Psalm 32. So not only is a person blessed who is forgiven, but he's blessed because his sins are not assigned to his account. And he's also blessed. This is an and, remember? The and combines. In whose spirit there is no deceit. Now, to better understand this, because now we have a new word coming in here, deceit. Deceit. And to better understand this, we need to understand where David is coming from. Because remember, with sin is deceit. Where sin is, deceit is. Where sin is, guilt is. This is bringing up another thing that sin brings with it. Deceit. I think a good place to look is Hebrews 3:12. I have it up here. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. It's a believer. but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is something that sin produces. Sin takes credit for the deceitfulness. It's no secret, right? And what this verse is telling us is it's talking to believers, and it's saying, take care. In other words, be careful that none of you falls away from the living God. And remember, I told you that could be a slight variance, falling away. Falling away doesn't happen overnight. Falling away can be so gradual that you can't even notice it visibly. And you may not even think of it as a way of falling away. That's how Satan loves to do it, right? If he can be ever so slightly, and at the end of that road, you're ever so far apart, he's got it. He's got you in the bucket, right? Because he's made you ineffective. I'm not saying you lost your salvation, but he's made you ineffective for however long in the Christian life. So we can definitely say that all sin is deceitful. All sin is deceitful. Because think about it. When you choose to sin, what have we done? Well, we've convinced ourselves to do something that our sin nature desires. That's in essence what we've done. You've convinced yourself to make a decision based on you, me, the flesh. But also, what does that mean? It's something that God doesn't desire. You see where the deceitfulness comes in? It's something that you desire, but it's a false desire. Because it's not a false desire, but if we accept or choose for that desire, then we bought the deception. We bought the deception because it's not what God desires. Absolute truth is only to your benefit. God's word is only to your benefit. So when we are deceived from that truth, that's where the deception comes in. And I'm not saying necessarily that deceitfulness can gain ground in your life, because you have to believe the deceitfulness before it can become real. You know, you have to believe the lie before it becomes something of value to the liar. And not to mention the repercussions that we receive from allowing ourselves to be deceived in the first place. So, and this, you know, if we're deceived long enough, which happens from a buildup of unconfessed sin, remember, that's kind of what we're talking about. If we go long enough from that deception, that guilt along with all this being built up, guess what? If that happens long enough, we'll be hardened. Hardened. That's the word in this verse. And this is an interesting word, because listen to what the word means. It means to cause to be unyielding in resisting information. That's what hardened is. You ever give anybody some good advice and they didn't want to accept it? Oh, heck yeah, all the time, right? Well, now you relate that to truth, the word of God in someone's life, and their soul rejects it. They don't want the solution anymore. You know what I mean? And this word hardened is in the passive voice, which means what? They receive the hardening from the deceit. In other words, they can't do anything about it. If you're going to be affected by sin, the deceitfulness of sin, it's going to happen that you will be hardened. It will happen. Absolutely happen. You know that old adage that says, if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes truth? That applies here. It applies here. Because if you are dealing with unconfessed sin in your life, that guilt and that deception for long enough, guess what you start to do? Believe it. You start to believe it. And you know, they say that that phrase right there is called the law of propaganda. If you say something long enough, people begin to believe it. They begin to believe it. If we tell ourselves something long enough, we begin to believe ourselves. If your sin nature tells you something long enough, you begin to believe it because you haven't been cleansed. It becomes the norm. It becomes the new normal. That's what it becomes. So, And that's exactly how lies become an illusion of truth. I notice I said illusion. If you take out the word illusion, it doesn't make any sense. It's an illusion. It appears to be true. I believe it. I'm standing for it. I'm all in. But what have I fallen for? That deception. I've fallen for that deception. So I think this is about voluntary exposure. What do you want to be exposed to? Deceit? Sin over a long period of time that causes you to be hardened or to have a change of heart, change of mind? It's not what I think, it's what God says in His Word. You know, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. Because sometimes God's Word says, oh man, you know, wow, that one hurt. And you can either do two things with that. Is you can say, you know what, that's a bunch of hocus pocus, right? We can throw that one right out. It's easy to do. It's easy enough to do. Say, that one's out of here. All I can do is communicate. My communication is ineffective if it goes into you and it gets laid on the floor. We can do that very drastically, or we can do it very subtly. Yeah, I'm going to put that one on the side. So that's how dangerous that can be, because now you can be growing in a church and you've cherry-picked certain doctrines and you've placed them on the table, right? You're either all in or you're not all in. And I'm not saying you have to believe every word that I say, but I'm telling you that the Word of God is consistent. The Word of God is truth. And I'm going to try my darndest to present it to you like that. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to tell you I'm wrong. If I mess up, I'm going to tell you I mess up. But the reality is, I try to show you. Right? I'm going to try to show you. I just want to say, this is how it is. That's why we're having to go through this road of seeing what confession is all about. Because it's not just about naming your sins and popping back into service. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes here. One of those things is deception. The longer we stay out unclean, then all of a sudden now we want to be dirty. That's where I'm getting. You want to be dirty. I'm not going to make fun of anybody, even though I want to. So, but then again, it goes back to voluntary exposure, right? What do you want to be exposed to? So this is talking about someone hardened. This is talking about someone who will eventually be unyielding and are unresistant to the truth. Guess what? We were like that at some point in our life. We know people like that at some point or that are there now in their life. They're resistant to the truth. But this is the truth. This is what will benefit them, right? Their relationship with Christ is what will benefit them. The deception has hardened their heart. Deception has hardened their heart. And that can be hard to break through with some people. Many times it takes God intervention, right? Something very bad happening in the life of a person to allow someone to say, oh, that they're come to Jesus moment. You know, like, man, this is not where it is. So, but you know, I think we do have a part to play here too. When people are deceived, just your influence, I think, has an effect on people. Influence. Because grace can break through this deception. Because it's unusual to someone that's deceived by sin. It's out of this world, right? When you show someone grace that doesn't deserve grace, where does that come from? Well, it comes from Christ. It comes from the Word. It comes from God. It's not from me. It's nothing I did for it. It was just given to me, and I'm giving it to you. That's all it is. And so you can quickly see how getting rid of deceit and guilt and kind of that residue of sin that it leaves behind is a blessing. That's what David is talking about. He's saying it's such a blessing. Blessed is the man who gets rid of this stuff. Blessing it. The longer we go, the longer we are deceived. And I'll tell you, the world is deceived. The world is deceived, right? The Bible talks about the father of lies, deception, name of the game was Satan. He is the father of lies. So we're not out of the woods, though, because it's not just about Satan. It's about our own bodies. It's about our own bodies having a sin nature involved in this. But at the same time, we've been given solutions. I think we definitely can go in the right direction. God has told us that he who overcomes the world is greater in you than he that overcomes the world, right? That is in you, which is Jesus Christ. It's not about Satan in the world. It's about who's in you. That's what this is about. So, I mean, that's just a fact of reality. What we do with that power inside us is a different story. But I'm just telling you what you've been given, what you have right now. What you have. So we can look around for different areas of what to do with that sin. But man, there's just so much involved here. There's so much that comes with the sin, the deception, the guilt, all these things that come with it. So if you want to do something with it, I'd say give it up to God. That's the only true and lasting thing that you can do, because forgiveness is so fulfilling, it's satisfying, and it's sufficient, right? So we don't want to hide them, that's for sure, because that's the problem we've been talking about throughout this study. You lose a lot of things. You lose the filling of the Spirit. You lose God's power. You lose that walk, that divine guidance that you need in your life. You lose a lot of things. Now, what are you running on? Well, you're on a different path, so you believe that illusion of the truth, or the illusion of the lie, however you want to look at it. Right? It's not the right path that you can take. Very easy to do. And guess what? David actually talks about that. Taking that path. Look at this. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. Well, there you go. That's what you have to look forward to if you want to wait. If you don't want to say, well, I'll just hide this sin, or I'll cover it my own personal way, this is what we have to deal with right here. He's talking about all day long dealing with this. This is being miserable right here. This is dealing with that guilt and placing it on your own shoulders and trying to deal with it. What does he say? Groaning all day long. Thank God that you have a better way. Thank God we have a better way to deal with all these bad decisions that we make, because you're going to make bad decisions. I'm going to make bad decisions. I'm not trying to get around that in any way. But you know what? You don't want to be silent about it. You don't want to be silent about it, because that's what David did. He's showing us the result. He said, my body wasted away. He's talking about physically. He's not talking about spiritually. He's talking about divine discipline and physical suffering that his body went through from concealing that sin. Guess what causes physical suffering? Physical pain. Stress causes you physical suffering. Having that guilt always on your mind will give you a heart attack quicker than you can imagine. It'll raise your blood pressure. It'll allow you to lose sleep. Oh, wait. Oh, now. Okay. Yeah, I got you now. We've all experienced that. Those are the physical components of what unconfessed sin can do in your own personal life. They're all linked, right? Spiritual and the physical are so intimately linked together. In a lot of pain? Try this. It's worth a shot, right? I'd rather suffer and have it be a benefit in my life than suffer for nothing. I mean, if you're going to suffer, you might as well do it for the Lord. Might as well have that sin cleansed and then suffer. At least you're doing it, you know, within the plan of God and desire for your life instead of not. Because we're going to experience pain no matter what. So why not do it the right way? So what David is showing us here is the sooner the better. The sooner the better. The quicker we get back on that right path, the quicker we get back in fellowship, the quicker we confess those sins, the better off we are. I'm not saying that everything's going to be taken away immediately, right? Because we have to deal with some of these physical issues that we have in our life. But I'll tell you that your soul can overcome the physical pain and the suffering that God has allowed in your life. This is not necessarily all about the physical. This is about the spiritual and how you think about the physical. We can really get wrapped up in the physical. The physical can overcome your mind, but that's not how God designed this life to be lived. Because if we just lived our life just only based on how we felt, man, we'd be all over the place. We'd be up, down, up, right, up, down. So the sooner the better. You don't want to be wasted away through groaning all day long. I'm thinking of that toothache I had a while back. That was about how I felt. So, and this is makes sense, you know, when you see this, because it's impossible to take a sin and to hold on to it. With sin comes death, however you want to look at that. Part of this is dying. He's dying right here. He didn't die at this moment, but his body is dying. There's a process of dying that we're all going through because of sin. And guess what? We can speed that process up. We can. We can physically waste away because of sin on our soul that is unconfessed. So, I mean, we've all, I mean, you know, that phrase, you go do something, you say, wow, I probably lost 5 years of my life doing that. You know, it could be true. It could be true, depending on what we did. I feel like we've all done stuff in our life where we lost probably some years, maybe. But at the same time, I think God's grace backs that up. If he sees that you're dedicated, guess what? He's going to be dedicated right back. And he can overcome the past with the future. I do believe that. So don't get too, you know, down and out because of the past. The reality is we've got solutions that we're aware of. And that's what's encouraging to me. So suffering, if it feels overwhelming, where you cannot bear it, I would think about this area right here. I would think about this because if you're in a place that where you're just killing yourself from unconfessed sin, that's one thing. But if you're confessed, you're applying the word, you're claiming promises of the word, guess what? God is alive, and he will help in time of need. No doubt about it. There is no doubt in my mind that he will. And guess what? If that's a physical thing, so be it. But the reality is, when you have a mindset that is content on what he is doing, you can be in pain a lot happier than you were without knowing that. If God wants you to suffer that way, and it's in his plan for you to suffer that way, well, let's suffer. Let's suffer, right? Because that's what he wants for us. He did it for us, so let's do it. If that's what he wants us to do genuinely, let's do that. What else would we rather do? There's nothing that you could do that'd be better than that. You realize that? He's not doing it just to have you suffer. He's doing it for your benefit. He's doing it for your spiritual growth. He's doing it so you can glorify him in that suffering. In that suffering. There is a witness, believe it or not, in that suffering. You know, we get so caught up in the suffering itself. It's not about the suffering. It's about why God has that suffering in your life. What are you going to do with that suffering? What are you going to do with it? That's the issue. And there's options, right? There's options that we're seeing right here. There's always options that we're given in everything. And that's, I think, always encouraging too. So, a little side tangent, but we're still talking about, believe it or not, known sins that the priest sacrificed for. Remember, I kind of went on a side tangent about known sins, but they cause a lot of issues, is what I'm telling you. The next type of sacrifice was unintentional sins. Unintentional. And we all make those too, believe it or not. You're not even maybe aware it was a sin. Or you do something and you maybe realize later, oh, that was not good, right? Or you just didn't know. Some sins you're not sure of or just aren't aware of. And what's interesting is that, do you know that the New Testament talks about the believer doing sacrifices as well? Not animal sacrifices. Hold on. sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. Same language, pulled right from, brought into the New Testament. Look at Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Wow. Remember, we're talking about the priest cleansing. We've got confession. We cleanse. We're talking about the priest sacrificing. We've got sacrifices too. Sacrifice. It says, present your body a living and holy sacrifice. You are the sacrifice. You are the sacrifice. Not an animal anymore. It's your body. So look at this. Before you go and sacrifice an animal, it says the sacrifice is living. Don't go kill anybody or anything. This is a living sacrifice. Living. That's different from the Old Testament because that's a dead animal. Living. So, first of all, God needs you alive to be a sacrifice. He needs you alive to be a witness. He needs you alive to choose Him over what we want. That's a sacrifice, by the way. So what does that mean to us? Time is of the essence, once again. While you're here, while you're alive on the earth, you've got time to be a living sacrifice. But what else does it say? And holy. Living and holy. You've seen this word before. It's hagios. It means being dedicated or consecrated to service to God. Got a lot of decisions to make. Got a lot of priorities to change. Got a lot of things to shift around in our life to get around this word. That's what this is telling us. So, you know, when I think about all the strict commandments of God that the priest had to follow just to keep purity in that holiness, that puts a lot on you as well to keep that holiness in the plan of God for your life. So I'm going to stop there, but you know, we'll pick this verse up when we come back. But sacrifices, they followed, carried over. But notice that everything goes from physical, and now we're doing them in the spiritual sense. We've got a cleansing. Now it's a spiritual cleansing. We've got a sacrifice. Now it's a spiritual sacrifice in your life, of your body, right? Not the physical mutilation. I'm talking about the way you live, your life, your thoughts. A lot of things you do for Christ can be sacrificial because the flesh wants to do one thing, the spirit wants to do another. They're in opposition to each other. That's a sacrifice to choose the right one. But guess what? It's worth it. So with that being said, let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the word. Thank you for just allowing us to see the insight that sin is so destructive. It's destructive when we do it. It's destructive when we let it sit on our soul unconfessed. And it's just destructive all the way around. We thank you so much for the options to get out of that, to find forgiveness in you. And also to keep growing spiritually and become that sacrifice that you want us to be. I thank you so much and ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.